Welcome to the Living Savior Church. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Wow, praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Cheryl's got a couple of testimonies she's going to read to us here in a minute when we all get through shaking hands and holding up. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that you're here today. We had a wonderful healing school yesterday. And praise the Lord, we got them all healed.
Amen.
Jesus healed them all.
They gotta
believe that. If they don't believe that, they won't get it. God says you have to believe with no doubt in your heart. So if we pray for you, you're healed. Praise the Lord. We're healed. Can't fail because it's God's word.
Okay. We have a lost and found item. This was found out in the parking lot last week. It says 1 and 2 on it. It looks like it belongs to a parking garage. It has Metro on the back, 39567. So.
Anybody know where this little...
Okay. Well, anyway, we'll put it out in the lost and found when it's over with. Okay. We had a friend of a friend that needed prayer. And so then we got, we prayed Tuesday. He went for surgery Wednesday. Gary went in for heart surgery because the doctor's test said Gary needed some stents. But when they got Gary on the operating table and did the heart cath, the final test right before the stent procedure, they noticed something unusual. Gary doesn't need any stents or any bypass surgery. They were dumbfounded, puzzled, and couldn't explain it. They told him they can treat his level of heart blockage with medicine and sent him home off the operating table. Once again, proving the power of prayer of agreement works. You guys are like, wow, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for all your prayers. We love you both, Glenn and Candy.
And then the thing that Cheryl didn't quite tell you there, I don't know if she's going to or not, but we had been out to ice cream. And I've got this guy that loves to go have ice cream, and he's a pilot. And once in a while he called and says, Thurman, my low-level ice cream light is on. So I know that y'all don't, maybe if you're not a pilot, you don't understand all the warning lights and gauges and things. When he calls and says, my low-level ice cream light's on. I said, okay, we'll be ready in 15 minutes. We'll go get ice cream. So anyway, we went and got ice cream. And on the way back, this guy called us, or called our friend, and said that, do something. And so as they were talking and everything, at the end of the discussion, he said, well, I'll call you back tomorrow, but said it'll be late tomorrow afternoon because I got to go in at 6 o'clock in the morning for a stent in my heart. And I thought, wow, a stent in your heart? And he said, wow, I'm thinking this. And then he said, well, yeah, you're going to have a stent put in my heart. And so, but they said they could do it in about 3 hours. And so then within 3 more hours, I'd be out of the hospital and I'd be home. So I give you a call tomorrow afternoon when I get home. Well, they hung up the phone and we said, wow. That sounds like a good place for prayer. Don't you agree with that?
Yes.
You know, there's no lack for prayer. It's just we don't pray very often. So anyway, we thought, well, it'd be a good time to pray. So the four of us that went to get the ice cream bucket filled up, we decided that, you know, that we would just pray. And we'd ask the Lord to do something silly, you know, like open arteries, you know, let blood flow through them, you know, fix it where you don't need open heart surgery. I mean, you know, it's kind of crazy people even think about asking for such dumb things, right? You know, but that must be the way we think about it because we don't ask very often, do we? So anyway, we ask and then we thank the Lord and praise Him for fixing the heart and said, wow, it's done. Praise God. Well, that's what happened the next morning when he went in at 6 o'clock. They couldn't believe it and they'd done the test. His arteries were unplugged, and he was healed. And so, but you notice something that if you didn't pick up on this, they said when they saw that there had something unique had happened, nobody ever contributes miracles to God, especially if they're worldly people. And so, by not contributing it to God, what did he say that the doctor said? We can handle this with what?
Medicine.
How about just trusting God and let Him to finish the whole deal?
Amen.
Is that the way to get it done?
He didn't know we prayed either.
Yeah, and he didn't even know we prayed until the next day, and then we told him. But anyway, go ahead, honey.
Okay. Then we had a couple more people that you know. Actually, I have three things. One, Ida Ferris that, and Ida Kelly that used to work here. Ida came to church years ago over in Dallas, and she had breast cancer in the left breast. And anyway, she came with her husband Ferris, and we prayed for her. And he said, well, I've got surgery for her on Thursday. And so that was all, because that was the very first time they'd been there. They were Baptist. And so they go for surgery Thursday, and there's no cancer, none whatsoever. So then they come back in a week or two, and she can't lift her arm up because they've cut all underneath her arm, all the muscles and ligaments and all that good stuff, your flesh. And so her arm would only go up to this. And so Thurman told them, and they were both crying. He said, well, I know that the Lord's, you know, knows that he's merciful, and he knows that you're a repentant heart here. And because they were crying like they were. And he said, I know God will heal you. And he prayed, laid hands on her, and zoom, her arm went straight up in Jesus' name.
And that happened right over there. They were sitting.
It happened in the church.
It happened right here. No, it was in this church. Yeah, when I prayed for her arm to go up.
Well, it could have been. Okay,
yeah,
maybe
it was
here.
I guarantee it was that day. I walked over there.
It was over at the other church.
Yeah, no, it was this church.
It was at the other church. It was.
Who was here the day I prayed and that happened? Where'd that happen at? It happened right here.
Jackie's agreeing with me. That's right. Yeah. Well, that's okay. Wherever it happened, it happened. She got healed. Her arm got healed. Okay.
Yeah, that's a beautiful part.
I'm going to the next deal. Anyway, I'm staying on this same story, actually. This is a little rabbit hut and getting there. Okay, so then later, Ferris, the husband, had an aneurysm in his brain, and Ida had a benign tumor, and she actually retired. She worked here 8 years, and she retired a couple of years ago, so I know it was at the other church. But anyway, that was 10 years ago. And so
Now the deal you're telling now happened right here.
No, it did. It happened here. I hadn't finished. But I'm saying the other thing, because I can still remember where I was. Yeah. Some days I don't remember, but today I remember.
The story she's telling you now happened right here.
Okay, well, I'm going to finish that story in a minute. Anyway, she retired from here a couple of years ago. Okay,
praise
she worked here 8 years after she got healed of the breast cancer, and then she retired. Okay, so she ends up calling me and saying, you know, I got this thing in my brain, and they want to operate. And I said, don't do that. You know what your problem is. It's unforgiveness. You know who it is. She knew all that. So I said, come on out here. And again, I already knew that Ferris had this. He had the aneurysm in his brain, too.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't go to the doctor. He wouldn't let him. After they told him what it was, he said, I'm not going. So they both came out here, and this was a very unusual day. Thurman put chairs all down through the aisle, and he called all the men that were considered elders, that considered themselves righteous, and they started praying. He put Ida and Ferris right up here in the front, and they prayed on all of them, and they ended up, both of them got healed.
Yep,
that day, right here in this church. Just what, last year?
Oh, it was a few years ago.
Okay,
a few years ago.
Okay. Anyway.
All I know, they both got healed. But they not only both of them, but everybody was in that row of chairs got healed.
That's right. Everybody got healed.
Everybody got healed that day. Praise the Lord.
Okay. So I think it was Thursday, I get a text, and she said, Ferris is having to go have open heart surgery. And I thought, wow, you know, how come they didn't call ahead of time? So we pray, and I tell her we prayed, and that she wanted to stand in faith and everything. So we stood in faith with her. And then I think I wrote her back, and she said that everything, and they were, actually I wrote her back while they were operating, and she said they're coming out every hour. And so anyway, it ended up, he got through the bypass surgery, and he got to go home Saturday, and he's doing well and got the tubes out, walking everywhere. So Ferris, he's healed, and we believe that he's got a new heart, and he's restored totally in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, so y'all know who Ida and Ferris are. Most of y'all do. Okay, then the other one, and they haven't been here in a long time, but I think Ernest and Esther Mae Cameron, as they brought, after seeing us on Daystar, they brought their granddaughter out to the old church in Dallas. Okay, and the granddaughter had breast cancer, and she had unforgiveness against her mother. I think she was 28.
Yeah.
And so she repented for unforgiveness against her mother, because as we most of y'all know, the left breast is unforgiveness against the family, woman in the family. Right breast is unforgiveness and against a woman outside of the family. And so anyway, she repented, goes back to the doctor on Tuesday, and she has no breast cancer. And so they decided, after they had seen him, we were both there, but I don't think I said one word, maybe one, anyway, on Daystar. And so they said, when Ernest saw that, he said, that's where we need to go. So they started coming to church. Well, later on, Esther May had a tumor that she'd had for 15 years, but she was afraid to get anything done to it because she had a friend that also had a stomach tumor, and when they operated on it, she died on the table, and so she wasn't going to have anything done. And he said, well, do you have any unforgiveness against anyone? And she said, yeah, and she pointed at Ernest. And so he said, well, you know, you need to forgive. And so we prayed on her little tumor thingy, and I don't know, it wasn't very long. She came back, and she no longer had a tumor, so she was healed of that. Okay. They called me. Yes, they did. It was about a month ago. And Ernest has been having, I think he's 82, and he's been having trouble with his left foot, which, of course, we all know that's the female side of the body. Left side is female, right side's male. His toe was infected, and it was a circulation problem, and the skin on his top of his foot was going away. And so they were talking about cutting his foot off. And I was going, oh, no. So we prayed for him then. I talked to him on the phone. I told him, you know, the possibility is what sin it could be. And he was fussing at me that he didn't have any sin. Y'all heard that before? Anyway, so she wrote me later and said he did apologize to their daughter. So, okay, cleared something up. Well, then she wrote me this week and said, keep praying because they now want to amputate his leg. And so I come to Thurman and said, oh, we got to pray here for Ernest that they don't take his leg off and the circuit. And then she wrote me and told me the whole top skin off his foot was gone. All the skin. Wow. Wow. That's pretty sad state of affairs that, you know, your circulation is not feeding your skin. So we prayed. He went. Then she wrote me and texted me and said, okay, we're going to this place, I think Lake Point over, I think, in Garland, and she said that they're going to amputate his leg tomorrow. So we pray again. I think before I got back to him, I was at my office. I stopped in Dave's office, had him pray, and then I got back to Thurman's office, had him pray too. You know, can't get too much prayer, and if somebody's talking about cutting your leg off, I don't want everybody involved. So we all prayed and forgave his and her sins and everything. And so, okay, they're supposed to cut it off the next day. Guess what happened? She texted me and said, they decided they're not sure when they want to cut it off. I wonder why. And so we're still praying against it that Ernest's leg is going to be totally restored, his circulation is going to be totally restored, and he's not going to have any legs cut off in Jesus' name.
Okay. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Then I have one more. Okay, a lot of you probably know Dr. John Dealey. Okay, he's having a struggle. He's having an emotional, mental struggle, and he needs prayer. He's tried to, he had a small stroke, and then he's tried to take his life twice, okay? And so he's somewhere that he's getting some help, but I just want the body here to know that if you'd offer up some prayers for Dr. John Dealey, his wife Nikki called. When I found out about the stroke, I called and left word on his phone, but she didn't get the message till yesterday because of everything that's been happening. She didn't have his phone, so she called here and gave me some more information, so now I can call her direct. But I just, you know, he's part of our church, and everybody just needs to know to lift him up, that he's got, basically, my feelings are he has a broken heart and over his children. And so if we could just all, you know, pray for his stability and for the Lord to heal. He came to heal the brokenhearted, as I recall. Amen. And so if all of us can just lift him up and pray for him and for Nikki, his wife. Okay.
Yes, Lord. Wow. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all these testimonies and for these that still have needs, which really, I guess, is most of us. We all have some kind of a need. There's things going on beyond our wildest dreams on this country, this world. And we thank you that you're still in control, that you're the King of Kings and you're the Lord of Lords. And Lord, I just give you praise and glory and honor for using us for your glory. And thank you for meeting the needs of everybody that we prayed for, that we're still praying for, Ernest and Brother Dr. John. And Ferris, Lord, that you would meet their needs and that they would both recover fully and that they would continue to live a nice, holy, wonderful life, loving you and serving you and putting you first. Lord, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 There's no lack time, need of prayer. Wow. The thing about it is, it's so awesome that the church, which has this great and awesome power, that we go to the world to get healed instead of going to God. I mean, I had a lady write me the other day, and she said, I am a doctor, and I don't like the way you talk about doctors. Well, let me tell you, I have the greatest respect for doctors. I am grateful for doctors, because if it wasn't for doctors, here's an old boy probably wouldn't be here today. I would probably got sick and died or something, but along the line, when I didn't know what the doctor really was, I'd only knew what I'd been taught. You know, and I had not been taught that Jesus was the healer. The church I went to all many years of my life never, ever, ever, well, I can't say that really profoundly. They might have taught on healing, but if it was that day, I was either absent or I wasn't listening. Do y'all know what I mean?
Amen.
Now then, how many of you now, I don't want you to hold up your hand because I don't want you to get yourself guilty here, but how many of you have been to church and heard some pastor speak an awesome message? And when you got up to leave there, you thought, man, that's the best message I ever heard in my life. Woo, that was good. Oh, man, that was great. And then you walk out and go to lunch, and you get to somewhere to lunch, you run into one of your buddies and say, oh, how you doing today, Bob? I'm great. Well, what have you been doing? Well, I went to church today. Wow. Pastor had a great message today. Great message. Well, what was it? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And you can't remember one single word that pastor spoke all day long. Have you ever done that? I've done it. I guarantee I've done it, and I know, but so I know how it works. I know that the Word of God also tells us clearly that when we go and we hear the Word taught, and then this is, of course, in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8, all three of those books of the Bible under the New Testament, that when you hear the Word taught and you don't fully understand it, the enemy comes and steals what's left out of your heart. So that's why when I learned that, after a few times somebody asked me a question, where you been today? I said, well, I've been to church. Well, what happened? Man, the pastor had an awesome message. I mean, it was just out of this world. It was fantastic. What was it? And I'm thinking, that was a great message. It was a great message, but what was it? Have you ever done that? You have too. Huh? You're guilty just like I am. But I didn't understand why. You know, I mean, I remember one time, and of course when I say this, all of you are going to laugh. I was not a very good English major at all. I definitely am not an English major. I slaughtered the Texas English. But anyway, that's the way I am. But I remember a teacher, she tried to teach me one day things about adjectives and adverbs and all nouns and pronouns and all this stuff. And she's just working with me. And after she worked with me for probably 30 minutes or an hour, she asked me a question. Now, which one of those is an adverb? I couldn't remember. I had no idea what an adverb was, an adjective. I don't know. Still to this day, I don't know that. So when somebody starts talking about English, and you just might let me go do something else, because I'm not going to get any. When you start using those terms, I ain't going to get it. I just don't. I'm not an English major, and I just can't get that. So, but anyway, one day when I had this teacher, when she got through that, she said, Thurman, your short-term memory is awful. She said, you know, you can't remember. You're going to have to work on that. And she said, somebody else said, why don't you give him a book about a car? She said, oh, you know something about a car? I said, I love cars. Okay, so somebody give me a book, and she said, read this story about this boy and his car. I read that story that night. The next day I came in, the teacher says, did you read that book? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I'd like for you to write a review on that. Somebody said, why don't you just let him tell it? She said, you want to get up before the class and tell this story about this? And I said, yes, ma'am. I got up there and I told that entire story. I had every name, everything. It's amazing. The teacher said, there ain't nothing wrong with your short-term memory. It's your interest. And do you know there's a whole lot to that? You know that? Now then, you know, you can take a man that couldn't remember what an adjective or an adverb was, and you put me in a classroom with 30 engineers, and you put me a DC-862 out there, and you give me a few weeks to study it, and I guarantee when I get in that classroom with you, I know everything there is to know about that airplane. I can tell you, I can, many a time I've stood in a classroom with a bunch of engineers and say, okay, turn to the emergency section, section 4, page 3, and go down two-thirds of the way down on the page on the right side, and this is what it says. And I quote it for you just like that. But my interest was in airplanes. I loved airplanes. I lived and breathed cars and airplanes. I mean, I think of one time a guy come in with a Chevrolet way back in the 1955. He had a little two-barrel Rochester carburetor, and this brand new car, and every time he'd go to take off, he'd hit the gas and that thing would just fall on his face. Bam! He took that thing to every mechanic, every shop in the country he could. Everybody tried to fix his brand new Chevrolet, and nobody could stop the problem. I had read the book on that carburetor. Everybody else hadn't read it, and I found where it had to be adjusted a certain way. He brought that thing in, and I said, I can fix that car. I know exactly what's wrong with it. He said, you do? I said, yeah, here, I'm the little 18-year-old kid, you know, on the block. I go over there, and I get that car out, and I get that little adjustment out, and I bend that little pump rod just a little bit, and I said, okay, let's try it. We went out there, and that car run perfect. He said, how do you learn these things? I said, I read the book. But you know, if your interests are there and you really like what you're doing, you put that into your memory circuits and there ain't nobody can take that away from you. The devil can't take it away, nobody. And you can ask Mike things about cars that happened years ago, and I guarantee since he lives and breathes automobiles, he still will remember those things. He can tell you in detail what happened. It's just like me with my airplanes and all that other stuff. When I loved airplanes, I mean, it was amazing what you can do if you only have interest in what you're doing. But I hated English. Somebody says, that's obvious. And it is, but I'm here to tell you, I still don't like it. And so, you know, if I live to be 500 years old, I still don't plan to go out there and be a master in English majoring. I'm just not going to do it. I don't like it. You know, I just don't like it. And so, now, if it's automobiles, if it's engines or cars or flying an airplane or something like that, hey, I love that. So, when I read something, and of course, when you learn what the Word of God does to you, used to, and I know you've probably heard this, I don't read the Bible because I've tried reading it and I don't understand it. You ever heard anybody say that?
Yeah.
You probably said that yourself. Hey, I read this book and I don't understand it. Like a girl the other night wrote back to me and Cheryl and says, I have a problem. I read the book of Leviticus and I don't understand it. I wrote her back and said, I didn't understand it the first 100 times I read it either. So after I read it 100 times, it began to make sense. And I said, then it didn't make much sense then until I prayed over it. Whenever I begin to pray, Father, in Jesus' name, open my understanding to the book of Leviticus. Whenever you ask God for revelation, you can read the book, the Bible. You can read it all of your life. And if you don't ask for revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the word, you can read it all your life. And I guarantee that you can read it for 50 years and you'll still never know what it says. You agree with that?
Yes, sure do.
But if you want to know what it says, start studying and start praying. Don't do anything without praying. Because God, He wants to show you how these things work. He wants to heal you and everything else. But He's going to do that whenever you diligently seek Him. He wants you. And He's going to work things out and do things for you whenever you do that. If you don't do that, you're not going to get much from God. And that's why people, just like that boy was in here the other day at a healing school. It wasn't the last one, but it won not too long ago. He came in and he said, I need to be prayed for. So we prayed for him. We found his sin, prayed for him and everything. And then the next month, he came back to the next healing school and he says, I don't understand. I'm still just as bad as I was last time. I said, well, you know, have you asked God what the problem is? He says, no, I haven't. So anyway, he was standing three or four deep here, and he said, I've got to go to the bathroom. Somebody hold my place here. I'll be back in just a minute. So he goes to the bathroom, walks into the bathroom, and I told him, I said, ask God. Most people never think about that. Why am I not healed? Ask God. Why? Ask God. You think God's going to tell me something? Yes. He talks to us. And so anyway, the boy goes into the bathroom, and as he leaves and goes into the bathroom, he walks in the bathroom, closes the door, and says, Lord, I know Thurman's teaching the truth. It's in your word. I followed him along with those promises, and it's actually in the word of God, so why did I not get healed last month? And he said, when he came back out, he said, as clear as I've ever heard in my life, the Lord says, the reason you didn't get healed is because you didn't believe. And somebody would say, but I believed. No, you thought you believed. Like Dave said, you believe it up here, but it didn't make the little short trip to your heart yet. When it gets to your heart, you got it. I'm healed. So, but that's the way you can tell. People that are walking in obedience to God's word, when it gets in their heart, like last Sunday, we had a fine young man here with his wife and four kids. And they were standing right here. And as we talked, he says, you have lit my fire for studying this book. He said, I used to never have that think that I had anything that I could learn out of this book. But he said, when I started reading this book and listening to you teach this book and the power that you walk in with God and the things you get to see God do, he said, I want to be able to do those things. And I realize now that you got there because you studied God's word. So he said, I'm going to study God's word. And I said, okay. And I said, you know, he's got four beautiful little children. I said, you know, and there's something else it says there for the children. Children, obey your parents in all things that it may go well with you. He said, hold it, Mr. Scrivener, just a minute, hold it. I said, okay, I stopped. And he said, kids, come over here. Y'all get up here. Get up right here, all lined up in a circle. Now, are y'all all listening to Mr. Scrivener? They said, yes. He said, now I want you to quote that again. This thing, if children could get a hold of the fact, children, obey your parents in all things because this is the will of God, that it may go well with you. In other words, how many of you like to be well?
Yeah.
All of us? So that it will go well with you and that you may live a long life. See, people don't understand that if you don't obey your parents, you don't live a long life. You die prematurely. I mean, lots of people don't know that, do they? But the Word of God is very clear that if you want to live a long, healthy life, you have to obey your parents. And, of course, while we're talking about that, I'll tell you, the majority, especially boys and men, that have epileptic seizures, it's because they did not obey their parent, their son, their father. In nearly every case, nearly every case when a boy does not obey his father, it's usually when he's 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, something like that, when they get to where they think they know more than dad, and they're going to do what they want to do instead of what dad tells them to do, when they go against dad, then usually in 2 to 5 years, it usually doesn't happen overnight. It takes a few years, sometimes 3 or 4 or 5 years, but I guarantee you, in a period of time, that boy will start having seizures. Now, we had one just last week that had been going to the doctor, having seizures, and he was costing $1,000 a month for medicine. And he's still having the seizures. Well, the pastor where he goes to church, me and him talked about all this. And he went and found the boy's sin and got the boy to repent to his dad. He repented to his dad, and they throwed away the medicine. I told him, I said, now this is the hardest part of it. You got to believe. And if you believe, that means you got to do it God's way and not man's way. So I said, really, technically, if you want to see God do good work, you need to get rid of the medicine. I said, it's hard. It's tough. Walking in faith is not simple. It's not easy. So anyway, they threw away the medicine. They prayed. The boy repented of his sin. And last week, that pastor called me and said, Thurman, that boy has not had an epileptic seizure of no kind in 3 weeks. He's totally healed. Is God good? He is out of this world. He's awesome.
He's fabulous.
Oh, yes, he is. He absolutely is fabulous. Yep, we had a great healing school yesterday, and I'm telling you, people, they all got healed. If they only believe, they all got healed. I'm going to go to Colossians. I want us to read some stuff in the book of Colossians. There's some really good stuff in Colossians chapter 1. Start with about verse 12 or somewhere along about there. Let's go to Colossians. Look at what verse 12 says. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us fit to be partakers and just look at, meditate on that a minute. Giving thanks unto the Father. Is that something we should all do on a regular basis? If you want to receive your healing and really see it come quick, you need to learn to give thanks to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. Don't hesitate to praise Him, worship Him, and thank Him. The more you worship Him and praise Him and thank Him, the more He likes it. He likes for you to worship Him and praise Him and thank Him. You know, every time I think about worshiping the Lord and praising Him and how I think about this, I think about the little Styrophoenician woman. I had the little child, you know, that was all epileptic and had a demon and everything else was all bound up. And she came to Jesus and she says, Lord, I'd like for you to come and heal my daughter. He just kept right on walking. And a little bit, she come around again. She kept on and kept on and kept on. And she's pleading with Him. But I have a daughter that's homesick. He's not even looking down. Finally, she stopped and fell in front of Him and worshiped Him. He at least stopped. He stopped and said, woman, what do you need? She said, my daughter lies at home vexed with a demon. I need you to come and heal her. He said, I didn't come but for the children of Israel, not to the dogs. Do you know you're just a dog? You know, that don't go over boy with most women. You tell them they're a dog? Jesus called a woman a dog? And she says, I know, Lord. I know I am nothing but a dog. But even the puppy dogs gets the crumbs that fall from the master's table. He says, woman, you have great faith. Because of that saying, go home, your daughter is healed. Now, do we have to be there and lay hands on people to get things done?
No.
What did he say? He just said it. He just said, he didn't even reach. The word says, lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. It didn't. And in this case, you don't even have to do it. Just speak the word. There's, when you do things in faith, there's every way in the world to get people healed. Isn't there, Scott? I mean, you don't have to do, when you think you try to, when you think you've got everything down to a science, okay, now I'm going to use this scripture. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to praise Him this way every day. That may not be the way He wants it done this time. Try to figure out some new ways to praise Him. You know, maybe, who knows what you might do to praise Him. Maybe you could make it interesting. You know, I mean, this woman, she was called a dog. Now, I mean, I've seen some women that if I'd have called them a dog, they'd have slapped me. Y'all know what I mean? But, you know, Jesus, you giving thanks unto the Father. I think about how that you do it. And one wonderful story about giving thanks was when Cheryl had the bridge loose on her teeth. Some of you have heard that story. But, I mean, she went to the dentist. Now, this is a godly woman. This is not a woman of the world. This is a godly woman that goes to the dentist and she has a bridge loose on her teeth and she goes in to have it re-glued and the dentist tries to take the old one off and he can't get it off. And after he prizes and gouges and does everything and can't get it off, Cheryl said, Doc, stop. Let me call my husband. I need to have him pray before you go on. How many people do you know that does that? Not very many. So anyway, she called me and I prayed and she went back in the chair and about 10 minutes later, 5 or 10 minutes later, he said, I still can't get it off. It will not come off. So anyway, Cheryl called again, second time. Doctor let her get out of the chair and call on her cell phone, called me and I prayed a second time. And still, nothing worked. When she got home that afternoon, I said, well, how'd it go to the dentist's office? She said, he didn't get it off. Now, wait a minute. How many of God's promises are yes and amen?
All.
So who's the problem with, me or God?
Jesus.
The problem is with me. So I got to find out what I did wrong. Because if I didn't do something wrong, he would have answered my prayer, wouldn't he?
Yeah, you're right.
But he didn't answer my prayer. So I don't know what's going on. So anyway, I start asking the Lord, Lord, what did I do wrong? Why did you not answer my prayer for my wife? What sin did I commit or did she commit? Because see, the two of us are one, right?
Yep.
So it could be her sin, it could be my sin, but there's something wrong. We're not doing the pleasing of God, or he would have done that and let that bridge come loose, but didn't come loose. So anyway, I am seeking the Lord, and then about that time, Eldon come by with a trailer. We was going to go get some furniture for somebody, and so me and him started off down Fort Worth. On the way back that afternoon, it's just about, in fact, it was dark. We're driving along there, and he says, Thurman, why do you think God didn't answer your prayer for Cheryl for that bridge? I said, I was just sitting here thinking about that, Eldon. I said, I don't know. But I said, I had to do something wrong. I don't know what it is. I said, I've been asking the Lord all day what I did wrong. I mean, did Jeremiah 33:3 say, call unto me and he'd answer me? So I'm just like you know, I mean, I make mistakes too. So Lord, I need to know what I did wrong so I can repent. Because if I repent, will he forgive me?
Yes.
Yes, of course he will. You know, so I need to find out what it is though so I can get it confessed. But I hadn't been able to figure it out. So as we're driving along there and I'm saying, Lord, I've got to know. You told me I could ask you for anything. I'm asking you to tell me what I did wrong, why you didn't answer my prayer for sure. Thank you, Lord. Now then, did I seem to do everything right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And all of a sudden I heard real quietly over here in the corner in my ear, praise. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
What did I say?
Praise.
Praise. Now how could that have any effect? What, giving thanks unto the Father? In other words, praise him. Does he like praise?
Yes.
So I'm thinking, praise. I said, Eldon, you know, when I asked the Lord then what was the problem, I just barely heard it. But I think I heard him say praise. I said, that's bound to be it. So I just said, Lord, I want to praise you and thank you for taking that bridge off of the glue off of Cheryl's teeth and let that bridge come out. Lord, I want to praise you for doing that. And Eldon driving down the road in his pickup and driving, he throws both hands up there, puts his hand under foot under the steering wheel and holds the steering wheel straight and puts both hands up and said, yes, Lord Thurman, I want to praise you. We want to praise you for taking that bridge off. Now, he's over there, both hands in the air, praising the Lord. Driving on with his foot underneath that steering wheel to keep it straight. We drive along there like that, praising the Lord for 10 minutes or about 10, 12 miles. Praise the Lord, I thank you and praise you for taking that bridge off. Lord, I praise you. All of a sudden, my cell phone rang. Cheryl, honey, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm praising the Lord for taking that bridge off of your teeth. She said, I knew it. She said, the thing just fell off in my mouth. After that dentist had spent all that time trying to get that thing off and prize that thing off.
With a hammer.
Yeah, he was in there with a hammer and everything else. And he said, I don't want to break it, so I'll have to wait till I get a special tool. And so that it wouldn't come off at all. So I'm telling you, when we started praising, now you notice it didn't happen the very first time I praised. We praised and we praised and we praised and we worshiped him for about 10 miles. And right near the end of 10 miles somewhere, all of a sudden, click. And that whole bridge that was in her mouth that was holding on only on one end just fell off in her mouth and she spit it out in her hand. And then all she had to do the next day is take it down there and the guy cleaned it up and re-glued it and put it back on there. It's still on there. Now then, the thing about it is, if we'd had enough faith, me and her both, if we'd had enough faith, we wouldn't have to go to the dentist. If we'd had enough faith, we'd have just put that thing back in there. This is kind of getting wild. But if I had the faith, and she told me that thing was loose and clicking on one end, all I should have done was reach up there on one side and put my hand on it and say, in the name of Jesus, I command that thing to glue itself back on. In Jesus' name. If I really had faith, Jesus said, if I have faith and doubt not, what can we do?
Anything.
So see, we don't believe him, do we? No, we don't believe him, do we? And we think we're a big boy and we think we can do some great things, don't we? But you know what we are? We just a bunch of wimps, you know that? You too. You may be a big old healthy boy, but you still a wimp just like Pastor. I mean, isn't it a shame that we are sons of God and we have all those promises? And he can fix that knee where you're going to never have no problem with that knee.
Yes.
Or you can not only pick up 750 pounds.
Yes,
in fact, this boy right here, he was picking up nearly 728 pounds or whatever it was.
Yes, sir.
728 pounds when it broke his knee.
Oh, thank you.
Broke his knee. He's standing in faith that he's going to be in a competition here not too long in the future, and he's going to be able to win that thing. Because he's believing God.
Yes.
He's believing God. So let me tell you what. If he's a wimp, he's a big one. That's all I got to say. He's a big one. Praise the Lord. I mean, we you know what? We as Christians really are a bunch of wimps.
Yeah.
I mean, did this book, did he really literally technically say in that book, you can ask me for anything and I will do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, you even know where it's found. If we pray, if we lay hands on the knee or in the body or on that knee right there, put it on the one that was in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Now, he said, if I lay hands on that knee's going to be perfect.
Yes, sir.
In other words, Lord, me and him's in agreement that knee is completely perfect, and he will win that competition when he plays, and he won't never have that knee. Will be both his knees will be strong where he can do anything, because I know what he does will bring glory and honor to your name. Yeah, praise the Lord. Now then, maybe we haven't praised him enough, reckon? Maybe that's the problem. We don't praise him enough. We need to praise him. When we praise him, just think when me and Eldon praised him, he took that bridge off of Cheryl's mouth, off of her teeth, that even a doctor couldn't get off. He just let it fall off in her mouth. Isn't that something? But the promises are in the Word of God, and all the promises are yes and amen, are they not?
Yes.
So what is wrong with us? What is wrong with us?
Unbelief.
That's it, unbelief. We're just a bunch of wimps. That's all. I guess I'm the biggest wimp in the whole bunch. I hate to say that, but you know, Lord, forgive me for being a wimp. I don't want to be a wimp. I want to be a man of God that can touch people in your name with your power. And I want the people, just like his leg, I want that leg to be so strong he wins that competition. There's no doubt in my mind, when he wins that competition, he will give God the glory for what he's done. Ain't no limits to what he can do. In fact, I think after you broke that not too long ago, the doctor said you might not never walk again or something, wasn't it? Something like that?
They said people usually never recover from this injury.
Never recover from that injury.
Some people never recover.
And you're going to be back in there shortly, competition lifting that 700 pounds again.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Wow. Now there's faith. That's faith. He's going to do what God said we can do. Right there, that's faith. That's what's wrong with us. Instead of, I remember when God gave me the special anointing that he gave me for backs. I mean, I had had back trouble off and on all my life. As I had that problem with my back, I used to just regular, every 3, 4, 5, 6 months, I'd throw my back out and I'd have to go to a chiropractor or something. When I began to get a hold of these promises in God's Word, one day I thought, I put my back out, and I thought, you know, if these promises are true, I ought to be able to stand on these promises and do great things. True?
Yes.
Well, they're pretty awesome, aren't they?
Awesome.
Awesome, awesome. Well, one day I reached over in the back of the pickup. I was in the Air Force. Reached over in the back of the pickup, and it says, caution, tester weighs 67 pounds. I picked it up out of there every day and took it out, put it on an airplane, checked out the system, picked it up, put it back in the truck, and took it back to the shop. This day, I reached up there, put my hands on the handles to pull it up. When I picked it up, bam! Oh, my gosh. I finally got where I could stand up, and I thought, I mean, just a little bitty step. Every time you stepped, it felt like you'd hit in the back with a board. I was going to do something to the car. I figured what I was working on, but I had to open the hood. So I went around and I opened the hood, picked the hood up like to kill me. I mean, it was. You can't imagine. If you've never had back troubles, you can't imagine the pain that's in the back whenever it's not working. But anyway, I had the hood open in my car, and I was going to do something. And whatever I did, when I leaned over to do what I was going to do, man, it hurt. And I mean, I almost went down on my face on the engine. And I sat there for a minute, and I thought, you know, God, you said in your Word, if I have faith and doubt not, I can do anything. Is that what he said? So I thought, this book is either true or it's a lie. If it's true, then that really means you're behind it and you're going to make it work for me if I do what you said in faith. So I said, Lord, I'm fixing to get rid of my back problem forever. I ain't going to have it no more. I said, I don't know, but maybe it's the devil. I don't know who it is, but somebody's been messing with my back, and I don't like it. And so I said, I'm going to push myself up from here, and I put my hands on that hood, on that car, and I pushed myself up. And boy, as I pushed myself up, it was like somebody was out there with a hot iron beating me in the back. It hurt so bad. I'm praising the Lord, thanking Him. It's sweat. I remember the sweat running off of me. It was hurting so bad. I turned, and I started to walk off, and when I took that first step, it's like, I mean, my lands, it hurt. You know what that feels like, don't you? I said, I'm going to do it, Lord. I'm going to do it. I took the second step. I said, Lord, I want to thank you that my back is healed in Jesus' name. And that second one, the pain was about two-thirds of what the first one was. But after I took that step, I said, that's it. It's over. I'm going to walk. And I put that foot down that third step. And when I did, all the pain went away in my back. And I have never had another back problem to this day. That's been years and years ago. Isn't it amazing how God will test you to find out what you're made out of? Now then, He put all those pains in His Word for you and me so that if we will spend time with Him and find those promises, when we have different things go wrong with us, that He's training us how to be an overcomer, we learn how to be that overcomer. Now then, if He wasn't training you to be an overcomer, you wouldn't have no problems. I mean, everything would go great. But do you notice that there's not a single person you ever met that got by without these trials and tests? Everybody has them. You know that? I don't care who you are. He's training every one of us to be an overcomer. He wants you to be an overcomer. He does not want wimps. He wants overcomers. Now then, just think. He said, Jesus said that as the Father has sent me to be an overcomer, and I overcame. Now, because the Father sent me to be an overcomer, and I overcame, He said, the Father let me sit with Him in His throne. Wow! What a reward to be able to sit with the Father, sit with Jesus in His throne. I mean, can you imagine something better than that? I can't. So He says, as the Father sent me to be an overcomer, and I overcame, and He let me sit with Him in His throne, now as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And each one of you that become an overcomer, I will let you sit with me in my throne. Do you want to sit with the Master in His throne? I do. I don't want to be out there in the back 40. You know, I don't want to be way down yonder in the backside of whatever. I want to be one of those that I want to be as close to Him as I can get. Wow. But how do we do that? By thanksgiving. He said, give Him thanksgiving. Giving thanks to the Father, which has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Wow. In light. Verse 13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Is that good news? He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Just think. You have been translated. Most of us don't even think about that. It's like the other day when we had the testimonies or whatever you want to call it. Different people have called and told us about things that God's going to do with this church in the future. We started getting these a couple of years ago. And things are happening, but they're not happening fast enough for me. You know? I mean, you know, after all, I mean, I'm impatient. I'm very impatient. I'd like to see the Lord do what He said. He told us that, in fact, just a few weeks ago, we had a pastor's wife in Tennessee had a dream about me. I don't even know the woman. I never seen her, never met her in my life. I've only talked to her one time on the phone. But her husband, I talked to him several times. But she had a dream the other night, and she woke up and told her husband, I had a dream about Pastor Thurman. And he said, what was it? She said, I dreamed that God was going to put a special anointing on him and his church, and that everybody that comes to his church, even if they have missing limbs, they're going to grow back. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we know that with you there ain't nothing impossible, and Lord, we praise you and thank you for sending people here, everybody that you send here, even those that have a missing arm, a missing limb, whatever. When we touch them in your name, you said all we had to do was touch them. That's just like I laid hands on his leg and touched it a while ago. The Lord said he's going to give him a brand new leg, only not a normal leg, but one better than the one he had. So he'll be able to lift more weight than he did with his original leg. He'll be stronger than ever in Jesus' name. And then the thing, whenever we talked about this, me and Cheryl talked about it, she says, you know, when this starts happening, when the word gets out, there's going to be a massive inflow of people out here all the time. I said, yeah, I know that. And she said, well, all these soldiers that have got legs missing, how are you going to get them here in such short order? We said, we can never have enough cars and airplanes or whatever to get them here quick enough, because the Lord told me this is only going to last a month. It's only going to last a month. And whenever Cheryl said that, I said, oh, yeah, it won't be no problem. I said, we'd have them all down here the same day. She said, how do you mean that? I said, translate them. I mean, did the Lord say, talk about translating? He translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And how long did it take him to do all of us like that? One heartbeat. One heartbeat. He translated us into the kingdom of light from the kingdom of darkness. Now then, if I say, Lord, all these soldiers that you want to put new arms and legs on, that got them blowed off in the war and all that stuff, I said, every one of these young men that you want to fix, I ask you to translate every one of them right here and put them right out here in the parking lot. And then all we got to do is just run down the side and just touch them. Every time we touch one of them, he said, it's going to happen. So how would you like to be here that day? Me too. I want to be here that day. I want to be. Now, I will.
They cover this.
Do what, brother?
We're going to see if the media cover this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, the Lord told me in that he said that you will be on secular TV at the news time telling people about what's happening at this church. I said, Lord, wow, Lord, Lord, Lord. And can you imagine? And the Lord did tell us, he said, that when this happens, he said, of course, I've been having trouble with my eyes not being clear. But I said, Lord, when is this going to happen? He said, the morning you turn over, look at the clock, and you can see that clock perfectly sharp and clear. That's when the anointing is on you. Amen. So when I see perfect, wow, thank you, Lord, I can see perfect.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, I want to see perfect. Can you imagine? No, we can't imagine that everybody that comes out. I wonder how the news people would mess this up. How could they possibly mess this up? You know, and did you know at one time that we had I can't think what his job title is, but he's the director of something for Oklahoma City. District attorney? Whatever he was. Anyway, he came down here with his wife, and him and his wife both got healed at a healing school. So he goes back home and gets his entire staff that works in the courthouse, and he brings them all down here to the next healing school, all of them. And when he comes, he makes known to the news media what's going on. So the news media from Channel 4 from Oklahoma City came down for that healing school. And they probably took 15 minutes worth of tape, finished tape. At least they was taping all the time. And I just thought, in fact, after it was over, the district attorney got whatever, he got healed, his wife got healed, two or three people that worked for him got healed. He came to me and said, I tell you what I'm going to do, Thurman. I'm going to pack my bag. I'm going home. I'm going to pack my bag, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to go everywhere you go for the next month. I said, no, I can't let you do that. I said, I don't work like that. I said, I just can't have somebody. He said, I'll buy my own airplane tickets. I said, no, that's not the problem. I said, God would furnish the tickets, but I said, I just can't have somebody following along with me everywhere I go. I just can't do it. And he said, well, I want to learn what you've learned. Now, I said, okay, I'll tell you what to do. I make every healing school, I tape it. Everyone is taped. And at that time, I was the only one that done any of them. I wasn't fortunate like I am now to have guys to help me. But at that time, I did it all myself. So I told him, I said, just get every set of teaching tapes and take them with you, and then go rent you a cabin for a month or two on the lake up north of Oklahoma City, and then just lock yourself in there. I said, he said, I don't want nobody there. I said, leave everybody at home. Just go. And I said, listen to these teachings night and day and pray over them. And I said, as you do, I said, God will reveal himself to you in a way that's beyond your wildest dreams. And he did that, and God did all that. Isn't that amazing? For those that hunger and thirst for the word, they shall be filled. That's right. So if you're not hungry and thirsty for God's word, you won't see it. So, but if you want to see him do great and mighty things, you got to find out what he says. And he says, thank him, praise him, worship him, and he'll do these things for you. Isn't he awesome? Next verse, 14. Read that. Can you read that to me, honey?
In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
All right. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, I want you to think about something. When we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the word redemption comes into effect. A lot of people will say that, you know, when you get saved, you need to confess all your sins you've ever committed but to God. I don't know anybody that can do that. I never met a man or a woman that knows all the sins they've ever committed. You couldn't remember. But that's why I use redemption. When you got saved, he redeemed you from every sin you've ever committed, and he knows what they are. So through his blood, he washed away your sin, and he made you a new creature. Now, this new creature that he made you is not supposed to ever sin again. You're a new creature in Christ, and you're never to sin again. Now, if you stay dead, like Paul says in Romans, if you'll stay dead, once you're baptized, in fact, we got three people we're going to baptize today. If you get baptized and you really believe what he did was for you and it's real, you will accept Jesus Christ and his redemptive power through his blood. He'll wash away every sin you've ever committed, and you will be clean and pure, and you'll be a new creature in Christ, and you will not have a sin in your life left, that nothing to prevent you from being able to do anything and everything. All the promises of God are yes and amen to you. So, but you don't have to worry about confessing sin at this point, because he redeems you. And this is one of the beautiful things about God. You are redeemed from the curse of the law. That means you're redeemed from all sickness. If you get saved and you got something wrong with you, at this point you ought to be able to come to God, and he ought to be able to forgive you and wash you in his blood, and you should be healed, and your body should be perfect. You have no sin. That's why it's so important that we keep our sins confessed. We don't want that sin to come back and bite us, because it will. I mean, the enemy, he knows that when you're clean, he knows you're clean. When you're guilty, he knows you're guilty. And he will definitely do some bad stuff to you. But the redemption from the blood, he cleanses you, makes you whole, and redeems you. Now then, you're a new creature. You're to go out and you're never to sin again. Now that if you, like Paul says in Romans 4, clearly says that as long as you stay dead, you're a dead man. He said, how can a dead man sin? A dead man can't sin, can he? But when people say, you know, we need to see some resurrections, that's the problem. We've seen way too many resurrections. Because y'all know what I'm coming from, where I'm coming from? We've resurrected this beast. And now he goes back out here and sins again, and he's a dirty old man. You won't like it. You won't like what he does, because he's a sinful creature. But as long as you stay dead, you will not sin. And sometimes I tell people at these baptisms, of course, I guess we may have to have somebody in there with a timer today to hold them down, to make sure we hold them down long enough to kill them. If we hold them down long enough to kill them, then they won't have to worry about sinning, will they? Every time I baptize somebody, and then later somebody said, well, you know, he did this or he sinned here. I said, oh, God, I didn't hold him down quite. Didn't hold him down quite long enough. I mean, just praise the Lord. Ain't that something? But if we realize that he redeemed us from the sin, and our sin is washed away by the blood of Jesus. I mean, do everything you can that anytime you sin, the first thing you should do is go back and say, Lord, I repent. I repent for my sin, and now I want you to wash me and clean me again. I want to be clean and white, washed in the blood, so that the enemy has no legal claim to me whatsoever. And when you do that, then everything works good. But just remember what Paul said. When you get baptized, you're showing your death with Jesus, and you die to sin, and you rise to walk in newness of life. And when you raise from that baptismal waters, you're raised to never sin again. You're raised to walk in newness of life. And that's what the scripture says. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Wow, next verse, 15.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature.
The image of the invisible God, Jesus Christ, that's who he is. Okay, next verse.
For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
So when you read that, who made everything that's made? Jesus made everything that's made. There's nothing exists except he made it. My question over the years was, where did the devil come from? And I asked that question to many a person. I finally found my answer right here in this chapter. Who made the devil? Jesus did. Jesus made how many things?
All things.
There ain't nothing exists except he made it. Visible. What in earth, invisible, invisible, visible, whether they be thrones or dominions or whatever, all things were created by him and for him, actually, and for his glory. Verse 17, let's go one more verse.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
He's in control. Wow, let's see what the next verse says. 18.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Okay, next verse.
For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
Just think, he made peace with everything by the blood. So he's not mad at you. Even, think, this is hard to grasp. When my children, when they would get to a certain point, they would drive me to the brink, I would get mad. Some of you ever done that? You get upset with your children, or maybe you got a loved one, or maybe it's your wife or your husband. They do something, you know, yeah, Cheryl said never. I said, don't lie. Woo, get in trouble. I'm a human being, she's a human being. You know, so, but the thing about it is, and we need to work on this, all of us, that whenever our spouse or our children or anybody else does anything, we need to realize we need to forgive them and not get angry with them and need to be at peace with them because of the blood. You know, don't get upset with people. Because, see, that's what Jesus has done through the blood. It makes no difference how bad, wicked, mean we are. He never gets mad at us. He's not happy with us, but he's not mad. He does not get angry. He does not say, I'm going, like he did under the old covenant. Man, he'd get angry under the old covenant, and man, you can see him out there. He's fixing to wipe them out. I mean, he got mad. The scripture even says, and the anger of the Lord rose up, and those that were out there sinning in the desert, he sent the death angel and said, boys, go get them. And 23,000 people were killed in the next few minutes. Woo! You think he was a little angry?
Yeah.
So aren't you glad you can't make him angry? I'm extremely glad that I can't make him angry. Now, you know, isn't it awesome what we can do and what we can't do? I've had lots of people come to me, Christians, they've done something wrong several times, and they say, he must hate me. They don't know the scripture. They don't know. And God never, he's made peace with you. Now all you got to do is come to him and convince him. You know, that God, I'm standing on your word. I'm worshiping you. I'm loving you. I thank you that you healed my body and made me whole. It's done. I'm a daughter of the King. This belongs to me because you did it on the cross for me. You did it and give it to me. It's a free gift. So, Lord, I'm healed. I'm made whole. Praise God. And every one of you that get that, he will do it for you. Wow. Having made peace with us through the blood. Wow. What's the next verse? Let's see what the next verse says.
And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled.
What isn't it wonderful to be reconciled to God? I mean, your bank account, when you reconcile the bank account and the numbers all come out just right, don't it make you feel good? And except like me the other day, I went down to the bank and I took the checks and I handed them in. Cheryl had done all the record keeping because I don't do none of that. And the lady run all the numbers through all that machine that reads all them checks. And she said, Mr. Scherner, we have a problem here. We show that there's $80 more than you actually brought in. We show that your wife that did this is $80 short. I said, well, you better reread your machine. She said, what do you mean? I said, because I've never, ever seen my wife make a mistake on the bank account. Never. So if there's a problem, it's with that machine. It's not with her. They went back and rerun all the numbers, and she come back and said, you're absolutely right. It was our mistake. Now, I mean, when you're batting 1,000 with a girl that does your banking records, a woman, and she's never made a mistake. That never. It's going to be pretty hard to convince me, Tony, that she's wrong. That's just like the day that I went to the dentist myself and had my teeth cleaned. When that lady put this thing on me, I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm fixing to check your blood pressure. I said, blood pressure? When do you start checking blood pressure to clean teeth? She said, well, that's something we do. I said, well, that's just something you do to make more money. I said, you probably went up on your bill when you did that. But I said, I don't need my blood pressure checked. I don't need to pay for that. There ain't nothing wrong with my blood pressure. She said, well, when's the last time you had it checked? I said, I don't even know. It's been years ago. She said, well, what'd it make you think you don't need something done to it? I said, because of Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23 says, whatever I say with my mouth, if I believe with my heart, I can have it. Is that what it said?
Yes, sir.
So am I living in the kingdom or am I living somewhere else? Yes. Hopefully I'm living in the kingdom. Because he said, it gives me great pleasure to give you, my sons and daughters, the kingdom and the keys to the kingdom. So she said, well, then, what do you think your blood pressure is? I said, 120 over 70. She said, and you hadn't had it checked in years? I said, no. So she said, can I check it? And I said, okay, put it on me. So she puts it on her and said, boy, you were really close to right. Said, it's 120 over 71. I said, your machine's out of calibration. I mean, after all, what did Mark 11:23 say? Whatever I say with my mouth, if I believe it with my heart, right?
Yes.
Now, is that where we're supposed to live in the kingdom?
Yes.
I mean, why have our blood pressure checked if you know what it's going to be? You know, and somebody comes in here and says, I've got a problem. I have high blood pressure. I said, you do? And they said, yeah, it's, they give me some wild, big, high number. I said, why? You don't believe Mark 11:23. What does it say? I said, see, that's what I mean. You don't know what it says. See, now you can't receive something by faith that you don't know what it says. You have to know it, and that's where we get in trouble. When Jesus told us to study to show yourself approved unto God, that's what he meant, study his word. So, I mean, it works. I mean, I've seen it work for me. I mean, I saw it work the other day for Cheryl's teeth. That was the most awesome thing. Whenever that bridge just fell out in her mouth, and all we were doing was praising the King. What can you do if you do it his way?
Anything.
Anything. You can do anything. Okay. Do what, honey?
You need to get the people to change.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's about time for everybody's going to be baptized. I need you to go to get your whatever you're going to be baptized in, and if you don't have it on. But I need you to put on your, there's three men,
yeah.
That are going to be baptized. So if you go, just get your stuff and go back into the bathrooms back here and put on your stuff. And then come out and come to the kitchen. And is the hot tub filled? Okay. So we have the tub in the kitchen. And as soon as y'all get your stuff on, come out and we'll go into the kitchen and we'll baptize all three of you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, praise off while they're getting ready. I guess while they're getting ready, I'll do the same thing today I did yesterday. I usually don't do this in church at all. I do it on the healing school, but since it's a healing school weekend, I will open the floor for questions. Does anybody have any questions about anything we talked about today or anything else? If you have a question, I'll try my best to answer it. I may not be able to. Yes, ma'am?
The law, you can't have grace in the law, they don't mix. I understand that. What is a tithing under? Isn't that under the law, or is that under something? Is that something different?
Are we under?
Tithing.
Oh, tithing. Tithing is definitely under the law.
I know we want to give to the Lord. We do that just not the law, but it's not. We're no longer under the tithing.
Yeah. Well, this is the way I look at that. Although that was under the law. And we're not bound by the law at all as Christians, but here's the way I look at that. If he required the blood of bulls and goats for a sacrifice for my sin, and now then that he sent his son, wonder what he might like to have back for me. Actually, all of me, it is under the law. But I think personally that we should definitely all tithe at least. In fact, I really think we ought to do better than tithe. I believe in, really giving God, I'm telling you, my own personal life. I don't think about just tithing. I wouldn't even dare think about giving so little to the Lord. I think that we ought to give. That's between each one of you. If you don't tithe, that's okay too, because you're not under law. And in Colossians, even we hadn't got down to that yet, but it does get to that, technically speaking, under grace, you have total freedom. There's three things I believe, and I can't remember what they are, that the apostles had to come up with. There was three or four rules. They also have lived under law so long that it's impossible for them to think we can get by without law. So we got to have some kind of rules to live by. And that's not true. Actually, under the new covenant, under grace, we don't have to have any rules whatsoever. In fact, we technically don't have any rules. But the rules that we live under, they finally said, okay, we're going to just come up with, do not drink the blood of a strangled animal. Do not drink blood. You remember those things?
Yeah,
okay, so there they are. Those things, technically speaking, according to grace, you even can still do that. And if you do it, without offending anybody, but the Lord Paul and all the other apostles were real clear that if you do something, it don't matter what you do, if you do something that offends another brother, don't do it. Don't do it. But according to grace, we're under no law, none. And to walk in grace is a wonderful thing. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. All the promises of God are yes and amen to every believer that walks in love. In fact, that truly, now this under the grace, there is only one commandment: walk in love. And Jesus himself told us that several times. I command you to walk in love. Is that right? I command you to walk in love. So if you, by walking in love, you fulfill all of the law. And the prophets and everything. Everything's fulfilled. So, like I say, you don't have to tithe. You really don't have to tithe. But if Jesus thought it was wonderful to tithe, and he told people they should tithe, I think that I wouldn't even, that's just like people that don't come to church. When they say, I don't have to go to church. I'm under grace. I said, well, that's true. But I said, I'll say one thing. If you don't enjoy being with God's people at church, you really ain't going to enjoy being with us in heaven. I mean, do you agree with that? I mean, I love people, and I love all people, but I love to be around Christian people. I don't come by my house and say, I'm going down to the bar. In fact, I had a guy from Oklahoma City, close to Oklahoma City, come by one time. And me and my wife, back when years ago, when Betty and I were still married before she died, him and his wife wanted to go to some kind of meeting in Dallas. And so we went. You know, I mean, I knew the guy well. I didn't know how much Christian he was because I didn't really go to church with him. But anyway, we went to this business meeting in Dallas, and it was quite interesting. And on the way home, he said, let's stop at the club. I said, stop at the club? What kind of club? He said, when I come down here, I like to stop at the club. And I said, on the way back. And so we were driving down Harry Hines, and he said, here's one of my favorite places. So we pulled in, we stopped, me and my wife, him and his wife, we get out, we go in, and the first thing I see is this platform up here, and this totally, totally nude woman dancing on this platform. So I pulled my chair up and turned it around, and I looked this way. And I looked at my wife, and I says, what do you think about this? She said, well, I don't really think we ought to be here. So I said, okay. So we sat there for a few minutes, and I told him, I said, you know, and he drank a beer, and I think I drank a Coke or something back in the days when I used to still drink Cokes. So anyway, we left, and I told him, I said, John, I said, do you come to this place very often? He said, oh, yeah. He said, every time I come to Dallas, I stop by here and have a couple of beers and, you know, and watch the girls dance and everything. And I said, and your wife doesn't mind this? And he says, I don't think she does. I said, you know, I think she's lying. I said, I really think she's lying. I said, I know mine was on edge the whole time, and me too. I said, I turned my back to it because I didn't want to see it. But I said, I don't think that you should do this. Well, he never did call me and ask me to go to another business meeting with him. Several years went by, and one day I went to Oklahoma, and I thought, well, while I'm up here, I'll go by and see him. So I went by to see him, and I got to where he used to live. His wife was still there. She looked awful. But she said, John and I got a divorce. Yeah. So anyway, she told me where he lived, and I wanted her to see him. He looked awful. Sin has an impact on you. And I just thought to myself, how sad this is. Now then, so when people come by, if they want you to be a partaker with where they live, I want you to be a Christian. You know, I ain't going. Now I've learned since I'm a little older, I don't go nowhere with nobody that I don't know who they are. I won't even let a man speak in my church that I don't know who he is. You know, I'm not gonna do that. I know that there's too many people that's teaching things that's wrong, and so I have got to know. I want to be around men. I want to be around Christian men. I want to be around men that the only thing they got on their mind is Jesus. Is that right? That's the one I want. So I want to be there. But and when you really come down to law and grace, when you really get into grace, grace says you have no limits. And what Nate said there a while ago about don't strangle animals and don't drink blood and don't do pornography. Yeah, adultery. Stay away from adultery. They just feel like that's things they need to do. But technically speaking, the way you read the law or the grace, even if you do that, you can still ask God for forgiveness and He'll forgive you. But you shouldn't make that a habit, that's for sure. I will have to say, because if He hates that kind of sin, we know in the Word that He tells us under grace we're supposed to purify ourselves from all evil. You know, we're supposed to walk holy before Him. And if you don't believe that, well, you know, you need to really look at the Word. So just make sure that you're obeying God, walking in love, and doing what He said. Okay, are we ready for the baptisms? Yeah, okay. Yeah, right after the baptism, we baptize these three men. Then after we baptize them, then my prayer warriors, in fact, I think y'all all know who they are, but you stand up. My prayer warriors stand up so that if these people, as Sharon and
Dave. Dave's not here.
Jenny's not here.
No, Sharon's okay. Not here and Jenny's not here. So okay. It's Grace and Mike and Scott and Kim and Dave and you and me.
Okay. So when we get through baptizing these people, all of you that need prayer, these are the folks that we will be here to pray with you till it's over. Okay? Praise the Lord.